All broadcasting from New York, upstate near the Great Lakes, it's Lighting the Void. I'm your host, Joe Roop. Welcome to the broadcast. We're live on KTLK Digital Broadcasting, the Fringe FM. Yeah, that website's going to be coming back. It's almost there, man. You can listen to this broadcast, though, with just about any website that plays radio stations right now. So, all right, so it's, what is it? I don't even know what today is. It's Thursday, the 17th, going on Friday, December the 18th. It's midnight here, and it's packed full of snow. We got like, I don't know, so far, they said we're going to get like 2 feet of snow. I don't know, just doesn't look like that to me. It's about 6 inches, but it's covered everywhere. It's all over the place. This might be my first white Christmas I ever get to experience in my life. But anyways, if it's your first time joining the broadcast, welcome. Thank you for showing up and listening to us, giving us a chance. It is kind of a weird show, right? This isn't a political show. We're not going to talk about politics all night or anything like that. We usually talk about things of a conscious nature. An eclectic show that likes to explore consciousness, astral travel, the occult, the esoteric, paranormal, parapolitical, and all things fringe. And every now and then we talk about absolutely nothing. Maybe potatoes, turtles, masks, Wendy's, whatever. If you want to join our chat room, you can go to thefringe.fm/chatroom. The call-in number for tonight's 1-800-588-0335. And you can email me at contact@lightingthevoid.com. This broadcast is always live. The calls are always unscreened. And we got 4 or 5 lines, too. So you can always get through when the lines are open. I think I get a lot of phone calls, though, sometimes when the broadcast isn't live, which is funny. I have it like where it shows up on my phone. And I think people call, when they're listening to the, I got to set up something because when they're listening to the replays, they're like new listeners. I don't think they know it's a replay. So they're calling in a lot. All right. So anyways, I'm sorry I'm late. Like, I had a stomach ache last night. I keep getting these stomach aches at night. It's weird. And then last night it was bad. This time it was really, my stomach started getting really tight on me. So I had to dart across the street, take a shot of Pepto, some whiskey, and a little bit of lacquer thinner. I think we're good. So tonight's broadcast is, well, it's pretty much about what I just said, right? Like fringe broadcasting, fringe podcasting. What's this whole fringe thing about? And I want to make this kind of real clear, too, because there is the paranormal. You got all these paranormal networks, stations, shows. And there's shows that are completely dedicated to conspiracy. And even the ones, and they'll say they're not, but they totally are. And then there's like Fringe, and Fringe is different. And the reason why I wanted to call the network Fringe, at least in my point of view, it's different. Because basically all Fringe is just the curious of the most curious people that are willing to go to places and go to depths that others will not go to find the truth. And that's the question, right? Like, how far are you willing to go to find out the truth? The truth about what? The truth about life, death, spirituality, who you are, who everybody else is. What is love? What is consciousness? What is force? What are you willing to do to find out? Because I honestly think that there are things that have been put in place for those that want to go down that road. The curious. Signs and all kinds of symbols and correspondences and things, and especially in nature. You know, you can't really trust a lot of the stuff that's been created by man, but you can trust nature. This is kind of where like numbers and sacred geometry come in, things like that. And for the seeker, someone that wants to find the truth, it seems the more they dig, the more signs they get that they're on the right path. Or at least the more communication they get. And then what is this thing about relation? Like, why are we here? I mean, why didn't we just, like, I wonder sometimes. You ever just think, I don't know, everybody's got this place where they just think about weird stuff. You know where I do that is in the shower. Like, I have the weirdest thoughts in the shower. I wonder sometimes why we even had to have relation. Not just male, female, but people in general. Why didn't we just, like, bring one person down here to experience everything? What's so important about having a mirror or a person to relate to connect with? Why is that important? Why does that matter? I think a lot of the times we don't really look at that close enough, and it matters a hell of a lot to me, because by hearing another person share their experience, it helps me reflect on my own. And in some way, I help that person reflect on their own experience too. What am I helping them with? I could just, who knows, right? I mean, we go from just simple conversation all the way down to love and sex when it comes to connection, or we don't connect at all. Friendships to families, work companions, every person we learn something from, we figure stuff out. And for me, it's not about the books. For me, it's always been about talking to people. Now, there are deeper things that we learn and relationships that have deeper things going on, but I think this is important. Like, this is the spark, right? The communication. And whatever we feel inside, even our theories, our intuition, whatever that leads us, whatever road that leads us down, even if we're completely like bat crazy, I still think we should share it. I think you should share everything that's on your mind, or what you wonder about, what you fear, what you want. We have to get a little deeper here. And I think as Saturn and Jupiter are coming to this place, there's this energy of Jupiter that's wanting to expand and grow and just get bigger. And then there's this energy of Saturn, and they're conjuncting, right? That's wanting to make sure that everything's lined up. So you can't just go for it, right? You got to make sure everything's lined up. And these energies are coming together, because we're about to learn the depths of who we are, why we are here. So whatever's going on in your story, especially if you're tapped into spirituality, I believe, just like I'm sharing my story with you right now, because I want you to consider what I'm thinking about here. I believe that those energies are showing us that we're about to take a deep journey. Where does that go? Where does that lead us? Does that lead us deeply in consciousness, deeply in ourselves, deeply with each other? I don't know. But it's all possible for sure. But I think when we figure out whatever it is we figure out, it's really important to bring it to the world, to speak it with our mouths, to say, look what I discovered, or here's what I think. And it doesn't matter if it sounds crazy to others. The message might get heard by somebody. You have to have alternate perspectives. And I think by doing that, we start understanding ourselves on the inside. So people like us that are willing to go all the way to the edges, to step out on the hairline and observe, all the way to the fringe, we're the people that evolve this place. Everybody else wants to stay right there in their little box and not move. And they make their boxes comfortable and their beliefs comfortable. And they do everything in the world to validate those beliefs. Because, like the guy said last night, it's not about expansion. It's not about evolving or breaking goals or whatever. you know, it's all about like comfort. And there's nothing wrong with comfort. But I mean, man, it's kind of like water. If you're drinking water all day, water, 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 like then is water really that good? You get tired of it. But if you never have water and you walk out in the desert for like, and it's hot as hell for all day, and then you drink a glass of water, well, man, that water is something special, isn't it? So essentially what we're learning here is that between the wanting of the water and the wanting of it, desire is the fire that creates. It's the initial spark of creation of any idea. The tension, the nervousness, the uncomfort, the anxiety, the wanting, the wishing, the curiosity. It's the fire, that's the spark, that churning inside you. How far are you willing to go to get what you want, or what you desire, or what you think about, or what's in your heart? You don't even know that you do that when you're drunk. Right. Well, I'm willing to go to hell and back for it. I'm willing to go to the fringe, all the way out on the edge. And I don't give a damn what everybody in their boxes think about it. And I don't think you do either. So we all happen to be here in this little family trying to figure stuff out, you know. Now, I don't want anybody to feel guilty about what I'm saying because you're not doing what you think you should be doing. But you don't have to feel that way either. There's reasons why we do everything. And some of these boxes keep our kids safe. They keep us safe. They give us sanctuaries from this crazy, chaotic place. But there has to be a balance, I think. But anyways, I'll get on a rant here. I'm just saying this whole thing is about how far are you willing to go to get to the truth? Now, we got a pretty special guest coming on. Juan from the Juan on Juan podcast is going to be here in just a moment. But I really think things are about to go to the next level. Individually, like I've noticed, especially today, at least four people doing things I never thought they were really going to imagine that they could do. And second, they're really good at it. You know, everybody's exploring themselves individually. They know what they want. They're ready to go for it. Well, don't stand on ceremony. Go. But I got to tell you, I learned a lesson too. And this is the last thing I'll say about this before we go into break. If you just go and follow your heart and your impulses all the time, you learn a lot of lessons along the way. You're going to grow. There's no doubt about it. You're going to grow. You're going to expand. You're going to evolve. You're going to experience things. And you're going to get out to that fringe, right? But you better be ready to experience all of it, not just the good. What are you willing to do, sacrifice, to have all that? You got to ask yourself that question, because I know a lot of you are right now. All right, enough of the philosophy and guru stuff. No guru. I'm a redneck guru, maybe. All right, we're going to be right back with our guest. Also, hey, if you want to support the show, make sure you go to lightingthevoid.com. Make a one-time donation, join the members. $50 off an altar box right now. Give the gift of magic. Give yourself the gift of magic. We'll be right back. More Lighting the Void coming up. Stay with us.
friend Jeff from Listeners. Did you know that when you're on the road with limited data or no Wi-Fi available, you can still listen to every minute of the Fringe FM by calling 701-719-3971. No smartphone, app, or internet needed. Saves your data plan and no extra cost if you have unlimited minutes. Call 701-719-3971. That's 701-719-3971. Listen to the Fringe FM on any phone, anytime, anywhere.
AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Are you stressed? I mean, who isn't? Anxiety creeping in? No, not that. Is sleep hard to attain because your brain just won't slow down? We're living in crazy times, and the fear knob has been turned up. Okay, there's an answer. Take a big breath, exhale, and go log on to AncientLifeOil.com. CBD, broad and full spectrum, organic and non-GMO CBD for you to enjoy. Change your tune from fear to calm, from brain overload to clear thinking. 0.003 THC on full spectrum and 0% THC on broad spectrum. Competitive pricing with the best quality. Also know everything is going to get better. No worries, be happy. CBD can help calm so your nerves don't think they're a six-string electric guitar. Enjoy life, smile, and log on to AncientLifeOil.com for great CBD. That's AncientLifeOil.com. You'll be glad you did.
Want to know what's on The Fringe FM? Check out our schedule at TheFringe.fm.
Hola, Fringe listeners. This is Dave Cruz of Beyond the Strange, and you're listening to The Fringe FM.
This is Malorcus 45, fan of The Fringe FM, challenging everyone to open their mind's eye. Listen to Lighting the Void with Joe Roop to gain precision for your third eye vision.
My name is Jake. I'm from Billings, Montana, and I am a Void Walker.
Hey, Joe Roop. Thanks for lighting the void. This is Janine in the Bluegrass of Kentucky, and I am a Void Walker.
What's up, guys? This is Damien from San Marcos, Texas, and I'm a Void Walker. I listen to the show to keep myself aligned with the world.
Hi, this is Laura, a.k.a. Laura Lavender. I'm from Las Vegas, and I listen to Lighting the Void because it helps me understand some of the strangest experiences I've had. So thanks for all that you do and for always being there for us, Joe.
Hi, this is Kronox from Belgium, and you're listening to Lighting the Void with Joe Roop.
Hey, this is country music singer and Void Walker, Jason Benoit. And when I need my fix on the world of magic and the capabilities of the human consciousness, I listen to Joe Roop right here on Lighting the Void Radio.
Born out of the alchemical tradition of Paracelsus is a medical tradition called Spagyria. Though not many people practice this work today, Phoenix Aurelius has been researching and teaching this work for the last 15 years, and he needs your support.
Hi, I'm Phoenix Aurelius, and I'm the founder of the Phoenix Aurelius Research Society, where I perform modern scientific research on the methods and techniques of Paracelsian alchemy and Spagyria for health, wellness, agriculture, ecology, and more. All my work is 100% funded by the public, so if you like what I'm doing and you want to support my research, please consider making a purchase of Spagyric medicines from my apothecary, fund your own Spagyric IDF wellness research, or participate in my group study or one-on-one immersion courses so that you can learn how to perform this work for yourself. I want to thank you in advance for your support.
Visit thefringe.fm/alchemy research and enter coupon code FRINGE and receive 15% off anything and everything on the website. That's thefringe.fm/alchemy research. And thank you for doing your part and keeping alchemy alive in the modern day.
Thank you.
All right, welcome back to Lighting the Void. We're here live on the Fringe FM. We're here with our guest, is here with us, a podcaster. I don't know how many episodes he's in, but I'm going to drop this website in here for you. It's a really cool website, actually. I'm digging it. Juan Ayala is here with us. And this is a really opportune time, too, and I'm glad I'm getting to talk to him. And I want to say this to you guys real quick, too. Before you decide whatever it is that you're going to go do, because I know a lot of you are thinking about taking some kind of journey. I only know that because, like I said, I don't just guess this stuff. I talk to a lot of you. I read a lot of your messages. So I know what energies are playing out. And just like this man that's coming on now, once you decide, you go for it, just like he has. And there's a book I think you should read before you ever decide, because I think you need to understand what it entails. And it's called The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. I'm sure you've heard Joe Rogan talk about it, but it changed my life too. All right, so just take that into consideration. All right, so Juan Ayala is the host of the One-on-One podcast, The 1 Hour and Strange Wands, where he talks about life, self-awareness, esoterica, and other mysteries in the world, interviewing artists, authors, conspiracy theorists, and other individuals. Now, the goal with his podcast is to bring forth knowledge that is hidden or misunderstood, and that's exactly what we're going to be talking about tonight. Thanks for coming on the broadcast, man. It's good to have you.
Thank you for reaching out, man. I'm a fan of the show. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. Well, how did you get started? That's what I know everybody wants to know. What got you? What made you say, yep, I'm going to do this. I'm going to take this journey.
To be honest with you, man, like if getting into these fringe thought ideas that rule you a heretic, right, with your family and friends and different individuals, when you start talking about these different things, it all started with me. You know, I was raised Christian Pentecostal, and it started with religion, right? With you talk to people about certain things, and they're like, well, just interpret it this way, think about it in this way, and they manipulate the way that you think, and they want you to, they want to paint that picture in your head for you. And I started podcasting, obviously, because I'm a big Joe Rogan fan. And I always said to myself, I said, man, what could I start a podcast about? I'm not that interesting. I don't really know much about anything. I was like, I'm just going to go ahead and do it, right? And I've always hated my name. Like I said, ever growing up, it's the most Hispanic name there is. I'm Puerto Rican. And I was like, you know what? I sometimes embrace my own faults. And everyone's their own worst critic. So I was like, the Juan on Juan, right?
Yeah.
That's funny. I'm Hispanic, cool. So it's not racist. So, you know, embrace it. And if I would have known it was going to change just my whole outlook on the very fabric of reality when I first started. And it's funny because when I first started my podcasting, I started in February of last year. It's about to be a year. You can tell I almost lose my sanity from the very beginning of my episodes. I'm about to be on episode 47. And you can tell I just lose my sanity from the very first episode to like my more recent ones, when you start just collecting all these thoughts.
Yeah, I've been there. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then you're worried about, man, I'm losing my sanity in front of everybody. And then you say, I don't know. I hope y'all understand. Like, this is what I'm thinking about. That's how I was. Exactly. Yeah. I don't know if that's what you were doing, but that's how it was. Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is that with I don't just talk about conspiracies, but it's a very big part of my show. And I love history. I love ancient civilizations. I love all that talk because some people just don't care about that type of topics. And I try and talk to certain individuals about it, and it just goes straight over their heads. They're like, they just can't tap into it. But sometimes you just got to ease them into the conversation. You can't just come out and be like, hey, did you know that we're descendants from some ancient alien race called the Anunnaki? Because you're just going to lose them right off the bat, right? You got to ease them into the conversation. And with all the information that I've collected over the last year of reading and talking to different people, and I talk to people in realms that are way above my pay grade, right? People with PhDs in church history or whatever, in religion, in whatever the realm is that I feel like talking about that week. And, you know, I just go into it. I talk to people who are knowledgeable in the subject and I learn from them. My podcast is like this archive for myself. And I listen to my own podcast, man. I don't know about you, but I'll go back and I'll listen to something. I'm like, man, that's really interesting, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I do that sometimes too. But before I was doing it 5 nights a week, I would, because yeah, there were just some deep things that I wanted to learn and I would get caught up in the conversation and miss out on stuff. And I'd have friends tell me like, yeah, you remember when you were talking about that one thing? I was like, I talked about that. Like I need to go back and listen, you know?
It's so much, man.
Yeah, it is. It's just a lot. It's a lot. And the more you do it, and I can tell you're doing good and you're going to be great, man. It's like the more you do it, the more vibration you're putting out. And I believe this. And the more your tribe is going to come around to you. Doesn't mean they're not a part of other tribes, because they definitely are, but they're going to come towards you, which essentially is kind of what's happening now. And everybody that you talk to, in a way, it's like you're collecting this tribe and trying to find these people and trying to learn these things. But really, what all this thing does, it's not about the tribe, at least for me, and I get what you're saying. It's like you start waking up, you start going on an inner journey for sure, you know?
Yeah, it's like Sam Tripoli says, conspiracy leads to spirituality or something like that, because what you're saying, I got called like a sage, right? This sage frequency that you're putting out that attracts people to you because you're just putting out all this information. And I mean, this is what I talk about a lot, about the system just suppressing us as a whole, right? And I mean, there's just what a crazy year to think that 2020 is about to be over and we're about to go into 2021.
Yeah.
It's like it's a blur, right? I mean, this whole year was just a mess.
And yeah,
for a lot of people, right?
It's chaotic for sure. Chaotic and uncertain and kind of Twilight Zone-y weird for me. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so
yeah.
That's interesting, man. So you just said, I'm going to do it, right? Like, I'm going to do this thing. And you took off, and now you're deep into it, right? So what is, like, the biggest, at all the people you've talked to and all the episodes that you've done, what are you at now with your journey? Like, what's the one thing that's really got on your mind? You're really passionate about learning.
Somebody told me recently to focus on the real, right? To pretty much knock it off with the conspiracies and religion and all these things, and don't talk about those, their stories. Because, I mean, you can put two and two together. A lot of these stories, and I was talking to somebody about this today, a lot of these epics and a lot of these ancient scriptures, regardless of the fact, even if it is narrative fallacy, there is some truth in that, right?
Yeah.
And when that person told me, is like, oh, focus on the real, I became Morpheus in the Matrix. It's like, what is real? What is, you know, I question the very fabric of reality. And science, it's a religion, and it's guessing, because at the end of the day, there's so many things as far as, and you know, the Gnostics call them the Archons, these dark forces. I call them the reptilian overlords, these reptilian-esque people, right? The ones that rule all over the world. And as we approach this singularity where we have these just massive companies censoring and controlling information that you're receiving at all times. And, you know, I question just, it's like quantum physics is trying to understand consciousness. Well, consciousness doesn't understand itself. So how am I supposed to focus on the real if we don't even know what real is, right?
Yeah.
We don't even know. Like Rene Descartes, I think, therefore I am. You know, it's that's the only thing I know to be real. And a lot of people get the misconception that when you talk about all these different topics that you believe them all. It's not you believe them all. On my show, I'm there to have a conversation. Like last week or earlier this week, I did a flat earth show And when you mention flat earth to people, it's like they get so triggered. But why would it be out of the norm, right? I mean, I personally believe that the world's round, but why is that crazy, right? We've caught the government lying about other things. Why wouldn't they lie about that? And it's all information that you can't confirm for yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get approached just here recently by a guy wanting to come on doing a flat earth show. And I think it's very interesting. Just like how many facts they can come up with to negate the, you know, so they have their facts. And then this is what should make you question the fabric of reality, yeah. Right? So the people that know about flat earth are so passionate and adamant about it. They have a list of rebuttals for everything that you can say to them about why the earth is round. And the people that believe the earth is round or view it that way, they're just like, whatever. The earth is round, right? And then they start spitting out their facts. Well, both people have facts. Where's the real truth then? Where's the proof, you know? And everybody I talk to has always got, well, it's round and this is why. And then, no, it's flat. Look at this formula or this mathematic thing. You tell me this. And it's like, okay, well, I guess this is one of those situations where I'm going to have to like choose. And if that's the case, and we're choosing if the earth is round or flat, then are we all seeing the same realities? Is reality our belief? What the hell is reality, right?
Yeah, it's just like Platonism, where Plato, and I was thinking about this today, because I was thinking about things to talk about on this show. I was like, what am I going to talk about? And if you really come to think about it, right, Plato's theory of forms, where thoughts are in their own dimension, we are as people is just thoughts against other thoughts. I don't like the way you think or see something, so my belief is against yours. And we're in that endless cycle. Well, I don't like that about you and you don't like this about me, so we're just going to fight about it, right? And this whole reality of whatever you want to call it, I feel that maybe back then as a collective, and you were talking about raising everybody's vibrational frequencies and all this stuff, I feel that maybe back then, you know, if people did believe that the world was flat and that's why they thought they could, you know, sail right off the edge. Because if enough people as a collective think about something, because we can't deny the fact that there's the double slit experiment where the observer has an effect on reality itself. Like that's science. That's something that if you figure that out, you get a Nobel Peace Prize. And that fascinates me. It's like, well, are we in this simulation, how Elon Musk and all these different people, right, these all these famous people talk about. And interestingly enough, I believe it was after Elon Musk had come out with it, Bank of America issued like this statement saying, you know, it's 30-50% chance that we're in a simulation. It's like, why would they come out and say that? Bank of America, that's wild to me. Like, really?
Yeah, because they don't, that way you don't care too much about your reality, so they can, you know?
It's like, don't ditch reality. The money is still, you know, just, we're going to control your money, but hey, you might be in a simulation, because I feel maybe they suppress everybody's ideas when it comes to that sort of thing, because I was talking to somebody today, and the people who are more weak-minded, I don't want to say that they're more malleable, right? Because there's certain people that need guidance in life when it comes to spirituality or whatever it is.
Right.
I had somebody tell me today, so what's the point of all this? Everything I'm doing is just pointless. And I said, no, it's not. It's not that it's pointless. But just know that it's better to know that you're in a game versus not knowing that you're in a game, right? Like, it's okay for you to know and just play the game. You're in a movie. Just play the movie and just do your thing, right? And that's what the Gnostics were, with the whole archons and all these entities that control the very fabric of reality. And they were, you know, pretty much just playing a game against, right? The Gnostics' belief is that we're trapped in this false world by the demiurge.
Yeah, the archons.
And archons, it's like David Icke, how he talks about it's still a prison, even if you can't see the bars, right? If it's a prison and you can't see the bars, I mean, that's even a better It's the illusion of choice is what I talk to people about. And you know, the craziness with politics, because we just had the election and all that stuff. And I tell people, I said, dude, this is all live action role playing. All these people are in bed together. They don't care about you, right? They're just putting on a show. And at the end of the day, they're going to do their thing. And they're going to, right, control the masses how they've always done since the very beginning of time. Divide and conquer, right?
Yeah. And I think they know this too. But they know this in a way. They know cause and effect. Like, these people know psychology and the hermetic principles. This is when it comes to the hermetic principles, this is, and I know this is theory, but to me, the hermetic principles are the only thing that I've found to be really certain about. So these people come out, and one guy stands at a podium with a suit and a tie and a red tie. And the other one stands at another podium with a suit and tie and a blue tie. And they even paint the colors different around them. And then they start battling each other. And it's like, you can't see what's happening here, man. Like, you can't see how they just poke and prod you till they get the crowds all riled up. They probably are, man. They're probably in the back doing coke together, drinking whiskey, you know.
Like the wrestlers. Like, I thought they hated each other. No, yeah. They were best friends this entire time. But it's what I tell people. It's depending on which timeline you want to believe in, right? I say all roads lead back to Egypt back then, and you can see it today. Back then, the pharaohs were gods reincarnated for these people. They had cults. They would literally believe that these, right? And you can go into the realm of Anunnaki, whatever, that aside, they literally believe that they had the gods on earth. The pharaohs were gods on earth. It's the same mentality today. People, there's a cult-like following when it comes to certain figures and politics or whatever it is, that people literally worship these figures in society the same way that they were being worshipped back then, right? I mean, it's the same mentality.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
I'll tell you one even bigger, because I'm an occultist myself. The magicians nowadays, they do the same thing that the kings and pharaohs did back then, which is this. Some of the kings and pharaohs, they had to learn the mysteries. They had to study the mysteries, and they would actually invoke these god forms into them. Mm-hmm. They would call upon them and invoke them into them. Now, I don't know if that is real or if it works. What I do know is they were doing invocations, and apparently they had everybody believing they were those gods of that physical form, I guess. I don't know.
Interesting. It's like, I think it was the last episode you did where he was talking about, in the Bible, it says don't worship false idols, and the idols need, you know, I'm paraphrasing, that they would carry their idols around.
Yeah.
And again, it goes back to Egypt where, and you know, ancient Mesopotamia and Sumer and all these places. And in some Hindu cultures, they believe that the actual statue is the deity. And yeah, you're absolutely right. They would invocate these spirits and these demons or whatever it is, angels, I don't know what you want to call them,
yeah.
Entities, some other worldly entities, into inanimate objects or even into themselves. That's 100% true. And what a lot of people fail, and I'm not into the occult because I believe it's real. And I've known people who have gone,
oh, it's real,
certain things, yeah. When it comes to the occult and magic, but magic is a very real thing. And I feel that maybe it was more significant back then and stronger back then. And not only that, but language itself. And when I talk about the suppression of the people as a whole, as a collective consciousness, back then, I feel language was stronger. If you look at the alphabet, there's letters in there. The original alphabet only had 17 letters. There's letters in there that were added later on that never even existed. Why is that? They call it, when you spell, you're casting a spell. That's why I believe in the law of attraction. And I'm very careful with what I say, because I do believe in manifestation. And I believe that's the key to everything. And that's what they don't want us to know, right? The you're talking about like the mystery schools and all this occult knowledge that they have, that they know about, right? That they know about since the very beginning of time. And one of my favorite figures in history is Plato, because even Plato and Plato's The Republic, he talked about the effect that frequencies and certain musical notes had on people. And again, it's mimetic occultism where they're speaking through propaganda to the soul on a deeper level. That's why you see these people who it's almost like a demonic possession when you see them out in the streets doing whatever they're doing, right? It's like this deeper connection that it's just penetrating them just on such a deep level that it just takes over them. And again, it's almost demonic if you see them, and sometimes it's disturbing.
Well, it is disturbing, but here's the thing. We, as people that study religion, we invoke Christ. We talk about the blood of Christ. God loved the world, so he gave his only begotten son, and because he spilled his blood, we're all saved. Like, what kind of invocations are we saying, you know? Like, and then if you look at that story, that goes back and it kind of lines up with Horus, Osiris, and all these different solar stories, just all of them talking about astrotheology. And it's like, are we worshiping the sun? And then you read Revelations and it's like, I'm the sun, the bright morning star. I thought Lucifer was the star. Well, Jesus says he is in Revelation. It's confusing as hell, you know? So people are just, they don't know they're still worshiping the sun.
Yeah, and I've talked about the Saturn connection, and I did an episode 2 weeks ago on Saturnalia, and it's what you're saying. It's all throughout all of history, it's the same thing over and over, just different names, just different labels, different names. And yeah, what makes your guy the right guy versus the next guy over? I've always thought about that. And again, raised Christian Pentecostal, and I played guitar and the worship group, and I did it all. And when I started questioning, this is a reason why the Gnostics, the Cathars, they thought the Old Testament was the work of a demonic being, right? Of this lesser God. And when you question things in the Old Testament, like people who are in the church are like, oh, well, don't focus on the Old Testament as much. Just go ahead and read the New Testament. I go, no. What do you mean? Yeah, it's in the Bible. No. Just go ahead and just skim over that. Just read these parts in these books and then get into. And that's what makes me question everything. Because I was raised in that. I was raised in that mentality, that brainwashing. And there's a reason why a lot of these people, these individuals who want to make a change, who want to bring out a certain kind of message and groups collectively, and I use the Gnostics a lot because I talk about them because they fascinate me, they're always wiped out. That's why it's called history, his story, to the victor of the spoils. So are we truly getting the full message, or are we just getting something that somebody just wants you to see, right? Like the whole issue with divinity and achieving divinity. With the Gnostics, it was Gnosis. And you could achieve divinity yourself. And you're able to ascend into the upper eons. Well, guess what? One of the major powers in the world is the church. It's a brokered experience. Listen, you can't go up. You can't talk to God unless you do it through me. You know what I mean? And when you take that power away from them, that's when it becomes an issue. And that's why I feel a lot of these groups were wiped out, right? A lot of them were Christianized. And you can, in Catholicism, what blows my mind is, like, when they were converting the Nordics, they took some of their pagan gods and made them saints. It's like, if that's not proof enough for you, and that's history, then I don't know what is, right? Like, everything you've been told from the very beginning is probably a lie. So to focus on the real, well, what is real, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't even, when I was raised in the Baptist, I was raised as a Southern Baptist, and then they went to like Pentecostal and stuff. And my father actually got thrown out of churches for asking questions. And my dad would say, they're preaching about that once saved, always saved, but that's not true. Because he would read all these verses that negate that. And they would literally scream at each other outside of the church. you're talking about works. No, you're talking about salvation. And why does it say, I know your works and all this other stuff in Revelations? He even says, I'm going to hold you responsible. What about once saved, always saved? Well, how do people get their name blotted out of the book of life? How the hell to get in there? He says, I knew you, didn't know you. Even used his name. You're using his name. Are you saved? And they just go back and forth until they about destroy each other. And I'm like,
yeah,
this is crazy, man. Like there's something not right here.
Yeah. And it triggers people. I get, you know, I'll get not an angry email, but an email every now and again. Like, oh, why are you saying those things? It's like, I'm not, I respect whatever you want to believe in. That's fine. It's just, I'm just pointing out the discrepancies because it's gotten so big. And it's like almost like the internet, right? It got away from them. And I feel that there's all these kind of all these modern day towers of Babel, right? That people are dabbling into things that they shouldn't be dabbling in, right? Like CERN and Kindred AI with Geordie Rose talking about opening up the portals into other dimensions, and the right that he compared the entities to the great old ones. It's like, doesn't that alarm you that they're doing all these things and they're pretty much opening us up to whatever it is, right? The great old ones. Those aren't the good guys, right? Whatever is good. Those guys are, you know, if you read the Lovecraftian mythos, Cthulhu's not a good guy.
All right.
And yeah, they talk about this like nothing. Like, yeah, we're just clashing atoms together to see what happens. Like, you're doing what? Yeah, yeah, no, we're trying to find something. Well, what are you trying to find, dude? You know what I mean? Like, and if it doesn't come to show you that they're lying to you, I was reading an article this entire year, and my last episode I named it COVID-19, the new religion, because it is a new religion in a sense. It's the center of our lives now, whether you want to believe it or not. And I'm not saying, and again, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's fake. I've known people personally who have died from it, and I've known people personally who have been fine. It's something, right? It's something real.
People that died from pneumonia and the flu virus as well. So
yeah,
told, yeah, you know.
But you know, they're talking about doing all these things, and it's like, you know, I saw this article. So it was this entire year we've been battling this invisible boogeyman, this thing that if you don't follow the rules, you're gonna die, and you're gonna get your entire family killed if you don't do this, right? Like some angry god that's out there. But then I saw an article. It was like, we've mapped out our galaxy, and we have a full map of our galaxy, and we're headed towards a black hole. Wait a minute. You told me you have a map of our galaxy, but you can't figure out something here on Earth? Dude, that it doesn't make sense.
Right? It doesn't make sense. Yeah. You can tell me if there's water on a planet that's outside, or well, there might be this gas or hydrogen, this or that, based on this color or whatever. And they got telescopes that could see whatever. And they've got machines that are the size of countries that they're trying to open up portals and smash stuff with. But yeah, they can't like find the cure to a cold that has gone out of control.
Yeah. And I tell people, I go, why do we need a space force? Why do we need all these things? And I'm a big Elon Musk fan, man. I have Tesla stocks and everything. I believe in him 100%. But you have people like him who push these certain agendas that's like, well, come on over and merge with the AI. Become one with it. No, no, no. There's movies about this, man.
Upgrade. Watch it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I see. And I also think that we're like, I have a lot of proof in my life from studying the occult that we do create our reality. Now, whether you want to call that magic, deep focus psychology, energy, doesn't matter. What I know based on my experience is that what everybody thinks, believes, and talks about and moves towards is what they create. Is it? And yeah. If we're doing this like, oh, damn, it's a pandemic, and we need to terraform and planet jump, and we need to merge with AI. Now, if we focus on that and everybody gets around that idea, man, what the hell are we really going to turn into? A bunch of like half robots trying to get off the Earth that are in panic mode all the time? Is that what the Brave New World is going to be?
I mean, for all we know, we're probably some brain in a vat jar somewhere, right? Just sitting there thinking of all these things. But
like the brain on Ninja Turtles? Is that the one you're talking about that's in that like glass jar?
You're just some brain somewhere. But with this whole vaccine talks and everything, I'm like, I was thinking about this. I'm like, dude, there was a movie about this. It's called I Am Legend with Will Smith, right? It's like all these movies have all these hidden truths, and you got to pay attention to the symbolism, because they do it on purpose, man. They just put out these movies. It's like, oh, that's a good story. Did you look into the underlying meaning? And you're talking about the occult. This whole country was founded on occult beliefs. I mean, all these symbols that you see everywhere, and right, the all these monoliths and these. I'm trying to think of the obelisks everywhere, right? The symbolism behind that, and what does that have to do anything with our country? You know what I mean? Like all these different things, and I love the whole Tartarian conspiracy, right? The whole idea of that maybe with Nikola Tesla, he had some sort of knowledge as far as like Tartarian knowledge, and he was able to achieve all these things. But again, it comes back to the same thing. If you can get free energy from the ether, well, guess what? Then what good is the whole energy sector that's selling you literally the air you breathe, the water you drink, right? They're controlling all that. And when they lose control of that, then, and I mean, JP Morgan was funding Nikola Tesla. And it just so happened to be that his Wardenclyffe Tower was like the same, you know, a similar design to the pyramids, if you really look at it. And I feel that the dynastic Egyptians didn't build the pyramids. I feel that they discovered them again through this more advanced ancient civilization that existed thousands of years before them. And they just got there. And I mean, they were notorious for scribbling out the previous pharaoh's name and putting theirs, and Egyptology is just surrounded by dogma. But it's like, why? You're really going to believe that Egypt is 4,000 years old? Get out of here with that, man. There's no way.
Where do you stop, though, when it comes to what you're willing to do to find out the truth? Is it just a discussion for you? Are you willing to actually try, like, astral travel, not magic per se, or any of this stuff? Or is it all just discussions and trying to think, which isn't bad? Discussions and using your brain is actually a really good thing, you know? But what are you willing to do? How far are you willing to go to try to figure this out as a podcaster?
As a podcaster, I mean, let's just say I know a guy who grew his own psilocybin and partook of it, right? To discover, right? To go into, well, I have a friend of mine that calls it tripping interdimensionally, right? And it's, who knows if these substances and psychedelics, or you know, people talk about DMT, they talk about mushrooms, if they are actual gateways. And I mean, I've gone as far as that to understand what it is, but these are things that only leave you with more questions. And I'm 100% believer that when you take these things, it just blows my mind that you're able to see things that you wouldn't normally see sober, you know? And I feel that's got to be something. It's like how Terrence McKenna talks about, it's not illegal because they care about you. It's illegal because it's going to change your entire mind and the way you look at things, you know? And again, this podcasting career, which I do for fun, right? I have a lot of fun with that. I talk about a lot of different things. It's led me to that point to be a psychonaut and just explore the mind, right? Because again, that's the center of it. We don't know. And again, the Gnostics, they understood that consciousness came first. The thought came first. And from there, everything was born, and they have their whole mythos and everything. But again, we go back to the same thing. It's like how I saw another article last week. There's a computer that can compute 2.6 billion years or million years in 4 minutes. What? Where are they pulling? Who's writing these articles, man? Where are they getting this information from? Like, it's ridiculous. But it can go. For me, I mean, it's gone past just talking about it, as some points. But again, when I talk to you about, I fear that people who try to go out and make a difference, they're always silent in some way, right? Like right now we have these tech giants censoring information that's coming out. So I'm not telling people to go out. My message to people is don't accept everything that you hear or you are taught 100%. And even the things I talk about, I tell people to go look them up and make your own assumptions and your own conclusions for yourself. But yeah, to me, it's gone further than just discussion for certain things. I've dove into certain parts of my own self. I mean, I do sensory deprivation to really, and I feel in a sensory deprivation tank, your mind is just, you know how they say when somebody loses their eyesight, their hearing gets better. When you lose your hearing, your eyesight gets better. When you're in there, dude, you're just a floating consciousness.
Yeah, you're just nothing, right? Does it really feel like you lose your senses? I've always wondered how well it works as far as feeling goes.
So I always tell people to try it at least 3, 4, 5 times. And the experience itself is a psychedelic experience in itself. Let's just say this. There's been times where I've thought that my eyes were closed, but they were open the entire time. And they say that the body produces DMT on its own. That's why a lot of these monks back then would live underground for months at a time and practice these breathing exercises like Wim Hof, right? Get high on your own supply. Through these breathing exercises, they're able to have just these psychedelic experiences. And it's in the same way, if you're in there long enough and you really are able to, you're able to detach yourself from reality. And I mean, you talk about astral projection and all this stuff. I mean, you can really, really go deep. But for some people, that can be damaging because sometimes you're fighting your inner demons. You're fighting your own self, and there's nobody in there. I mean, you can end it whenever you want. You just get out or turn on the light, whatever it is. But for a lot of people, they can't just sit in silence. They can't just sit there and be by themselves and actually be able to reflect inward, because that's all meditation is. I mean, you're just with prayer, meditation, whatever it is, it's all the same thing. I mean, you're just using your energy to project things. And I feel in a sensory deprivation tank, your mind's ability to manifest things is just 20-fold, right? It just goes way above and beyond. You should try it, man. It's therapeutic. I love it.
Yeah, I want to try it. I really do. I've tried it in a kind of a redneck way, but it didn't work, you know? So like, you got to have a real tank to do this stuff.
Like in a pool in somebody's backyard. Yeah,
well, I'm going to blow up tool. Just give me some salt. Keep bringing the salt, you know, but it's got to be dark. It's got to be quiet. You got to really get involved with it. And I can't personally, sometimes I've meditated and can't even like hold still or sometimes deal with what's going on in my mind. So it's probably take some relaxation and practice when it comes to that. But
but that's part of the indoctrination though, because right now, just the other day, when you really come and look at it, and I feel this is all part of suppressing everybody's ability to use their minds and consciences to expand, you know, the universe and affect the universe in a direct manner. Everybody's on their damn phones all the time. You're on a screen 24 hours a day from when you wake up to when you go to sleep. That light, there's a reason there's blue light filters. That light's not good for your eyes, man. And I mean, there's studies on this, the way it affects people's sleeping patterns and the way they think. And even me, dude, I'll sometimes I just want to chill. And if I'm not in a sensory deprivation tank, I literally take my glasses off and I just stare at the ceiling. Because what am I going to do, to watch a movie? I'm staring at a screen.
Yeah. Right. I stare in the dark, you know? Too. Sometimes I lay in bed and I'll just look up and stare. I'm like, and stuff. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. But I'm telling you, the one thing that really changed my paradigm was the out-of-body experience. Not like everybody talks about astral travel and I'm flying and I'm lucid. And no, this was the real Robert Monroe experience. I had one very profound experience, man, where I was watching myself sleep. I saw things like that was in reality. Nothing was skewed. A very light, energetic sensation. It was trippy, man. Really trippy. Didn't last very long either.
How were you able to do that? It's like lucid dreaming?
Well, I read Journeys Out of the Body by Robert Monroe. And essentially, like, he had this experience he called the Gateway Experience, which is what him and Thomas Campbell, who's a NASA physicist, went and developed together at the Monroe Institute. Because when people started reading this book about astral travel, he brought all these scientists down there, and Thomas Campbell was one of them. We've had him on the show, too. He wrote The Theory of Everything. And they started doing experiments and studying and figured out that you could create this hemisync, which is essentially binary beats. But hemisync is different in a way where it just puts one tone in one ear, and in the other ear, it puts a slightly different tone, like maybe just a little bit different frequency. And you'll listen to it, and you'll hear that, and then eventually... Yeah. Your brain doesn't like it, so it syncs them together, and then it just... And now the both hemispheres of your brain are actually in sync, which they never really are. There's usually on one side or the other. But in that sense, they are. And so he has this relaxation method he takes you through. And so I obsessed on this, like, every night. And then he talks about how to, once you feel the vibrations, like the tingling and stuff, and the body paralysis... to not freak out, it's perfectly normal. And then once the vibrations are gone, to just peel yourself out. And dude, I literally peeled myself out, but it felt like I just sat up on the couch for real. No different than if I was to sit up on the couch for real. It felt exactly the same. In fact, I told my brain, I was like, you know, it didn't work, but I'm not gonna give up. And so I stood up, I turned around, and I was looking at myself sleep. And I was like, holy shit. And it's like, I did
it,
dude.
That's wild.
Yeah. And I was like, I was so excited. I got away from my body as fast as I could. Because this, I said, I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. But it was amazing. It was like, it changed everything for me.
Yeah. And you talk about that. And I feel that maybe, right, the Egyptians and that box that's in the King's Chamber or Queen's Chamber, whichever one it is, that if I've had friends lay in it, and people around them will start humming a certain tone, and the box starts to shake, right? He says it's just overwhelming because it just starts to shake, this huge granite box, right? You're taught that the pyramids are just these over-engineered tombs, but they've never found any bodies in any of them, right? They're all buried at the Valley of the Kings, like I don't know how many miles down south. But I feel that all these ancient civilizations that got up and disappeared, they were able to, as a whole, tap into a certain frequency and able to just leave out of this world. Uh-huh. And like, I had this flat earth guy, he told me that, and it made sense to me, but I just can't get behind the whole flat earth thing. He told me that they would just follow the suns, right? Every planet was a different sun.
What?
It would be, all the suns would be just born over and over again, and the people collectively would just follow the suns out. And outside of the wall, right, are just other pretty much universes and dimensions. And supposedly on the 21st of this month, with the age of Aquarius or whatever you want to believe in all that, that you're going to be able to see through the veil. Right? I mean, but it makes sense to me. And I feel that with the whole haplogene X group and all that stuff, these people are able to tap into something, some sort of frequency where they're able to, like you said, either astral project out of their bodies or even just dissolve their own bodies. Because that's the whole thing with 5G, right? What are these frequencies? If frequencies can literally, with cymatics and all this stuff, can literally separate water molecules, right, at a molecular level, what are they doing to the brain? What are they doing to the whole body itself, right? We're just a bunch of atoms just put together loosely. What's to say? I mean, the government has those type of weapons where they come out with these big speakers and they blast people and they just go away. You know, like, that technology exists. You know what I mean? Like, it's real.
Yeah. Well, and for sure, Danny Wilton was one of the first people I ever talked to back when I was studying, like, truth seeking and stuff. And this is a guy that would the first time I heard him was on Red Ice Radio. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but, and he was telling people about the Nebula of Orion and how everything maps out on this earth. The Nile maps out exactly like the Nebula of Orion, like there's a mirror in space of the Nile in Egypt, and it's in space, you know, and it's so far in space, like how the hell, they can't see nebulas back then. And he is an analyst too, so he would put graph paper on this stuff and show you how 100% perfect of a match it was, and also to certain paintings that Da Vinci did and things like that. And I got to thinking, I had him on the broadcast, and I got to thinking, well, how would they know that? Like, they didn't have the Hubble telescope or anything back then like that. They had to have been getting out. They either had spaceships, or they had to be getting out of body. One of the two, right?
Well, I mean, you talk about the Egyptians. If you take all the dimensions of the world, they fit inside the Great Pyramid of Giza, right? If you... to a scale, right? And again, that's what the Egyptians, they were very big on sacred geometry, because they wanted to put a part of the god or their creator, whatever, in everything that they did, so they would incorporate it, the sacred geometry and the golden ratio and all these things into everything that they made, because they wanted a piece of God or whoever it is in that work. But yeah, 100%. It's like, it, go even further, right? The Dogon tribe with the Nomos in West Africa, where there were the Nomos, these fish-headed people, came down from where? Oh, the Sirius star system. They came down and they taught them about agriculture. They taught them about the three stars that are there. That one's a brown dwarf. The other one's a white dwarf that's naked to the human eye. And then they didn't figure them out till 50 years after they had invented the telescope. But these people knew about it.
Yeah,
these
right.
These people knew about it.
What the hell?
How?
Yeah, dude, exactly.
That blows my mind, man. That's wild.
Exactly. And what I meant to say was, it wasn't the Egyptians. So it was the Greeks or Renaissance artists that drew these things, like the Last Supper. There's a couple of other ones too where it matches the Nile totally. Well, the Nile... Mm-hmm. But it also matches the Orion Nebula. So here, I just think that the Hermetic axiom of as above, so below, there's something out there programming this. It's like it's fractally programming downwards or in spiral or in minuscule form to this place is nothing but a place that is created essentially by laws on higher planes. That's it. We just are mini gods in these bodies, taking these laws from this higher place and making another little world out of it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, I can get, I mean, even the Aztecs thought that too, that we are like these gods, like you're saying, this self divinity, the divine spark, excuse me, and that they talk about, that you're able, again, through knowledge, maybe through knowledge of all this stuff, talking about this and tapping into some other frequency, you're able to, again, transcend through the dimensions and go into the upper eons. But, right, it hints at the Akashic Records. Maybe the Akashic Records is our DNA. And some people are able to tap into that, and they're just able to access all the information from the very beginning of the universe on some other level. Right, these people, they were able to, they had shamans, they like ayahuasca in the rainforest. How are you going to tell me out of all the millions of combinations you're able to put these two together? If you ask them who told them, they go, well, the plants told us. Who? Well, the plants. They told us what to do.
Yeah, the gods, right? Well, and that sounds completely crazy to some people, you know, and it still sounds a little crazy to me too, but at the same time, like, you're telling me like a guy like Graham Hancock, that as smart as he is saying he's talked to these gods, and I don't know if I can look at him and tell him he's crazy, because that dude's taught me a lot of stuff. But maybe when you get into a certain state of mind, it's so profound that there's no way you don't believe it. And people have done TMT, say it felt more real than this reality. And so did it. That's exactly what happened when I had that out of body experience. Like, this is kind of hazy here compared to that, you know? So
yeah,
maybe we are in some kind of crazy illusion.
Well, again, the Gnostic mythology is that we are in this false world, and they were wiped out for a reason, for preaching something that they were ruled heretics. But I know people who have also done DMT, and they say they all encountered the same entities in that dimension, and they all have the similar aspects and behaviors. And it's almost like, and like what you're talking about, that so, like when I, before I started getting into all this, I would listen to Terrence McKenna, and you know, there's hours and hours hours of Terrence McKenna talking. I couldn't keep up. I couldn't understand what he was saying. And then later on, once I started diving deeper and deeper, I started to understand what he was talking about. I go, oh, that's what he meant. And then now I'm going back and re-listening to all these talks that he did. And there's just a wealth of knowledge.
You're right.
And again, coming from a guy that was in other dimensions, right? Talking about the clockwork elves and all these crazy things, right?
But think about that. So your brain was cut. Your brain was not understanding it. Let's just say your mind, not your brain. But the second you an aha moment came, or a light came on, it's like a door opens to all of this new information. It's not just, that's when you're really tapping into something, I think, because now you got all this new information that just floods in, because all of a sudden you understand a new concept where a door opened that just changed everything for you. And that allows all of these new concepts to flood in. And essentially, this is like what consciousness is growing up. First, it's like, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I just wet myself, I need love, this feels good, what is that? And then every time we learn something new, it opens up a bigger door and a bigger door. But what they're doing to us, bro, is like when we become adults, is they're shutting doors on us with religion, politics, science, saying this is reality when it's probably the least of reality. You know,
it's all simulacra and simulation. I mean, we're giving value to empty symbols, right? Just because it's a picture of Jesus Christ doesn't mean it is Jesus Christ. But for some people, it is, because that's how indoctrinated they are. They go deeper. Again, it goes to a deeper connection. And like money is a piece of paper, but it's not that. It's what it signifies. And all the world revolves around it. And what would they do? There's more of us than there are of them, and I'm talking about the system, right? The reptilian-esque individuals, the archons, whatever you want to call it. There's more of us than there are of them. What would happen if we were just like, you know what, we're not gonna comply anymore? We're not. What are they gonna do? You know what I mean? Like, there's movies about that.
Yeah, that's why I guess I see what you're saying. That's why they keep you divided. That's why they keep you uncertain. Yeah, exactly. It's a power thing. It's almost kind of like a balance thing too. But what I've been saying to people is like, listen, man, I figured out how to get out of your body, and I'm not playing. I don't care if you think I'm crazy. I really don't care, because I experienced it. And it doesn't matter. So if I can get out of my body, and Robert Monroe can do it and pinch somebody, what power do these people have over us? We just need to focus on becoming a ghost, man, because if I can learn how to be a ghost, I can do anything, you know?
I had somebody today tell me that if they got the chance, and I think, dude, I think that 2020 was a test run. I really do. I really believe that it was a test run to see how they're like, you know what, let's see how they would react, right? Maybe it is what's going to come before Project Bluebeam, if you want to believe in that or anything. But I believe that with this coming out, they're going to be like, hey, listen, you see what's happening? People are getting sick. People are dying. Well, guess what? For $19.99 a month, you can download your consciousness into this thumb drive, and you're not ever going to get sick ever again. You're not ever going to have to worry about aging. You're going to be one with the AI. Just come on in and just merge, right? That's how I feel about all this that's going on. It's like almost like they're setting it up so they can sell you a good package. And it's like, well maybe that's not that bad, because I had somebody today tell me, they were like, I'd jump on the opportunity. And
well, that's what they're selling you now with this new RNA vaccine for $29.99 or whatever. You can inject this vaccine that increases your immune system and gets right into your genome, and able to fly on airplanes and do all of the cool stuff that you used to do. Yeah. So come on down and get that.
Yeah, but they can kick rocks with that with me, because I'm not, I mean, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but I'm just not. I mean, again, there's movies about this. It's called I Am Legend, right? Where they try to cure cancer and everybody turns into these zombies. And I don't know, man. It's like I talk to people about this and they just, some people are, I call it what they call the fluoride stare, right? They just look at you like, what? What'd you just say? Okay, you know what, dude? Just go ahead and sit back down.
Well, yeah, like, well, here's the thing with this. They're getting into the genome stuff, RNA, whether you want to believe, people don't. Well, it's not exactly your DNA. No, it's not your DNA at all. It's RNA. But here's the thing. They didn't test it on animals. They've never done that before. How many pills have come out? How many vaccines have come out? Pills, vaccines, whatever, Windows updates, you name it. Anything like this. I don't know why I'm thinking Windows updates because it's the same thing. And as soon as it comes out, it's buggy as hell.
It's garbage.
And you got to wait till it's like version 0.8 or 0.9. Okay, this is like the closest to the best we can get. Still might cause cancer. You still might have things turn inside out and talk to you, but you won't get COVID.
Would you say it might turn you inside out?
Yeah. Like you might have things on your body turn inside out and talk to you, but it doesn't matter. So now they're pushing this vaccine through like they've never pushed anything through before, which based on our past, which we're humans, and for some reason humans on this planet don't learn shit from their past because we just love to do that, you know? And they're like, well, we didn't really try it out on animals, so, but we did a few human tests and some people got sick. Well, what were their symptoms?
Some got Bell palsy. Some went anaphylactic shock.
They got
some
sick.
Some of them died, but it wasn't from COVID.
Yeah, so right. So take the vaccine and then we'll let you fly on a plane and we'll let you go to school and we'll make this world that's been so hectic and crazy, that's made you feel so emotionally unstable, go away.
Yeah, well, again, they're speaking to the soul. They like how you're saying, they want to cater to your needs because you've made all these things that are just so insignificant, just a major part of your life. You know how many people, I mean, I don't know about you, man, but I'm a homebody. I like being at home. I'll probably go outside to get some sun because I'll go into a depression. But other than that, I'm pretty good. I don't like interacting with people. And there's people who need to be places all the time. And it's a problem for them when the government's like, well, stay home. I was like, well, are you really quarantining if you haven't changed your life that much? Not really. You know what I mean? Like it's, and if I go do something, I mean, my hobbies are outside. I mean, I go hunting, I go fishing. I'm by myself. You know what I mean? Like I'm already used to being by myself, but for some people, and again, it goes back to that primal nature of people, the community. You see all these shows, like Alone is one of my favorite shows, where they don't survive. Because back then, yeah, people survived from the land, but they did it as a community. They did it together. And when you take out that community aspect of it, people just go insane. They need that, again, but it goes back down to what you were saying. When you're growing up, you need that love. You need that affection.
Yeah.
You need, this feels good, this doesn't, you know? It's a weird, if you're able to just overcome that mentally, then the sky's the limit. But we can't, because we're dependent on it. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Imagine someone sits you in a chair and you got this disease, right? That you could die from. You could die from it. And they say, it's okay, I got the antidote. It's right here. And they pull out this shot, this weird looking thing with some green goo in it or something. And you're like, what's that? And they're like, well, it's the vaccine. It's the antidote, right? It's the classic antidote from the poison that you have story. Well, how do you know it works?
Yeah.
Well, we tried it on a few humans. What happened to them? Well, they got sick, but it works. Okay. Did you try it on any animals? No, we don't have time to do this. Just take the damn thing. We'll
trade you for a check.
Wait.
Take them and give you a check.
Don't stick me with that thing, man. Well, we're not going to stick it. We're just going to inject it in their skin and like spray this stuff in there. What? What is this?
Yeah.
What's going on here? Like, I don't know. And the next thing you know, you feel like a lab rat. It's not cool, man. That's what we are. We're lab rats for them right now. Lab rats that can do labor and make them money. And that's, but they don't even really need money. I think that's another lab rat thing, but you know, I'm ready to get off grid.
it goes back to, again, what David Icke and all these different people talk about, where it's not about money. It's about, excuse me, about energy, right? Whatever energy it is you're getting, like in the Matrix, they're mining us for our energy. Maybe perhaps that metaphysical aspect of it, because even Nikola Tesla said everything is vibrations, everything is frequencies. If science was to focus on the metaphysical, they would make more advances than they ever have in a decade, right? That's what he said, paraphrasing it. But it comes back down to that. Maybe perhaps it is like this energy thing, right? Just to just throw them a bone to keep them at bay and just have them, you know, just there. And I personally think we're probably a failed plant experiment or something. I don't know. The plants are using us to transport all their spores and everything everywhere. Who knows, right? That's why it's like, focus on the real. Well, tell me what it is, because you don't even know that, right?
Yeah, nobody knows what it is. That's the truth. And any physicist or any physicist that's studied reality will tell you that. And all these physicists are arguing with each other about stuff and have all their theories just as much as the Jews did when they wrote the Babylonian Talmud. They've all got their theories about everything. And then, you know, we're supposed to listen to them because they're old and wise. And everything sounds so intelligent when they say it, and it adds up. But essentially, that's what conspiracy is, putting a whole bunch of stuff together and making a truth out of it. But it doesn't make it true. You know, like...
Well, I talked to somebody about this today where I said, how I mentioned earlier, even if it is an exaggerated part of a lie or of a truth, I always feel that every ancient scripture, every tale or every, like the boogeyman, right? There's a mustard seed of truth in there. And maybe it's even programmed into our DNA through all the years of fighting off the unknown, right? You have an old hominid or something back then that would live in fear because he couldn't see in the dark at night, and there was a saber-toothed tiger or something trying to hunt him. And that same fear is what's been transferred all throughout the DNA. That's why I believe the DNA is the Akashic records. Maybe that's why they're targeting with this vaccine our DNA or RNA, whatever, right? But in a single strand of DNA, you can store how much data? A bunch, right? I don't know the number, but a bunch.
Yeah, it's massive. It's like the biggest computer ever. You could
crazy. I mean, the whole world, the universe itself, it is an organism. It is a computer if you really look at it. And again, these people are playing the game. But as long as you know you're in a game, it makes it a little bit better, right? You there's certain things you can't do in the program because it's not programmed. You can't jump 20 feet in the air because it's not part of the program. But if you know you're in this, like the Truman Show, right, at the very end where he knows about it, it's like, hey, listen, I'm out of here, man. You know, maybe if with enough shows like this and like podcasts like mine where we talk about these things and we're able to bring people to a certain level of awareness, then maybe later on we might be able to, as a collective consciousness, break free of this false reality that the demiurge just set up for us, right?
Right. And I think the way to do that, one of the ways to do that, is when someone tells you a certainty, you just give them a reason why it's not, right? I mean, about everything. Well, you should worship God. Well, I don't know God. Maybe I'm God. Do you know? Right? Just, it doesn't even have to make sense. But if you get people thinking, it'll work, right? Well, you should settle down and get married. Why? Well, that's what you're supposed to do. Well, why? Or you should like work a job and have something guaranteed. Why is that guaranteed? Well, because it's a 40 hours a week job, you know, like it's not, what are you going to do? Go be an entrepreneur or something? It's not guaranteed. This job is run by somebody that's at the top of a building that can point a stick at a chart. And if it dips away, he don't like, they lay off a certain percentage that goes all the way back down and trickles to your little world. And they just lay you off. That can happen next week. Yeah. What about marriage? Or what about being with somebody for forever and ever and ever? Not going to happen. One of you is going to die first. So essentially, there's nothing here but change. So what do you want to experience? And why are you forcing yourself to believe something?
Yeah. Yeah, that's like I tell people, make your own decisions, make your own assumptions. And like how you're saying, I mean, it's a game, right? New save. You start off, right? Skyrim, you start off, you want to do a certain build. Well, I mean, maybe perhaps you only have one shot at it. But I believe that, like, sometimes I'll look at my son and he'll be doing stuff. And I'll look at him and I'll go, man, who were you in your other life, right? Who were you before you were reincarnated into this reality? Because I believe it's just like the Ouroboros, right? The serpent eating its tail, that endless cycle. Everything just comes back. Samsara, if you believe in reincarnation.
I do, definitely. And what I believe in is that voice inside of you that is saying, hey, son, like when you look at him and you say, hey, I know you, like deeply.
It's weird.
From somewhere else. What our reality has programmed us is to say, don't listen to that. There's no fact there. There's no history books that say that's totally true. There's no mathematics that proves it. There's no logic. But there's that voice inside of you when you look at your kid going, I know you though. Like before you got here. And we have a deeper connection. And you follow that voice. That's the voice that all whatever reptilian stuff these people you're talking about, that's what they don't want you to figure out.
Yeah.
They don't want you to figure that out because it's not logical. It doesn't make sense. It's not in any of the books or any of the programs. It's hidden. It's occult. It's esoteric. But you go down that road and they got their claws and everything, you know? Like,
yeah.
You follow those demons to hell down there. Well, what's hell? I don't know. Just go find out. And then you come back and you're all crazy and in a padded room, you know?
And that's why I feel like how you're saying, that's why they put us in the hamster wheel, right? This 9 to 5 every single day. People don't, I've had people like tell me to just be quiet because they're just so focused on, they want to get home after a long, stressful day. They probably don't like their job that much. They come home, they just want to be a zombie in front of the TV or in front of their, right on TikTok, just flipping through, doing whatever. And they don't have time to think about any of this. They don't have time to think about what reality is, what consciousness is, who the Gnostics were, who Plato was, who Aristotle was. Like, none of those people, right? Like my wife, I'll try to talk to my wife about this type of stuff. Goes right past their head. Rather watch the Kardashians on TV,
I've been there before, right? Bro. I hate it. I'm sorry for you. But it doesn't mean like, you know, y'all don't love each other or anything. It's just, that's why you're maybe, you know, the reason why she came into your life was so you would start a podcast to inspire and talk to other people, you know.
I just like trying to convince her that the Kardashians are just reptilians and they're witches and they're doing sex magic and that's how they got rich.
Yeah, they got fake body parts, man. Like, come on.
It's alchemy. It's alchemy, dude. If you really come and think about it, it's like 1 + 1 = 2. And if you do this, or like the Knights Templar when they were talking to Baphomet, they supposedly had the head of John the Baptist. It's like, well, listen, you do this, this, and this, and you will establish the modern day banking system and you're gonna make a ton of money out of it. And yeah, just keep doing this for me. Just do this for me and everything, all your wildest dreams will come true. And that's like the darker side of things, right? When I talk to people about the whole QAnon thing and right, there's an elite pedophile ring and all this stuff, it's like, well, there's some people who truly just, they get off on that. And then there's the other people who believe that through these means, they're able to achieve otherworldly powers, right? Because they have these things that they're talking to. They're invocating whoever,
well, yeah, what right? What they've essentially done is, and this is the epitome of what's wrong with the world today, in my opinion, they've taken a very sacred power that's inside of us all that has everything to do with divine union and everything to do with the powers that created this whole place that come together, that when they come together, it creates. And essentially, that's what love is. And there's a natural way to do that. And it is the most powerful thing we can tap into. However, if you pervert it and you find what they call the purest sources of it or whatever, the nature is nature. Laws are laws, just like these occult things. It works the same. But when you pervert it, it perpetuates more perversion, more bad stuff, more, and it gets worse and worse until, you know, like I guess one of these angels comes back and just destroys the place, or we die from COVID or AIDS or whatever we decide we're going to die from, you know?
Well, it sounds stupid, but I mean, George Lucas, it's got to do with the whole Anunnaki. It's like the Force. What are you going to use it for? Either good or evil. When you're playing Dungeons and Dragons, it's a balance of being good and evil, right? It's like the real world, and that's what essentially it all comes down to, what you're saying, right? If you use it for good, then you can manifest good things, but if you're going to use it for evil, right? What do they call it? The left hand and...
Left hand path. But yeah, left hand path is more about getting there faster. Yeah, using more dark forces, getting there faster. Yeah, for sure. Like Crowley was a left-handed magician, right? Left-hand path magician, understood the sacred science of the forces of sacred sexuality, realized that we are just living right now in one big cosmic orgasm. That's what life is. That's why you're alive, basically. And so to do it in a small form here on Earth, to bring the male energies and the female energy together, you create a moon child. Basically, you can create things magically. But there's this one thing they kept leaving out, like divine natural love, that voice I was telling you about a minute ago, right? That has to happen, and there has to be a connection with the proper energies. And then instead of telling people this, they put it all in, you know, like Leviticus and all these different books. You can do everybody but your cousin. What? Why? What's the difference between the cousin and the sister? And it's just because they want to program you to not figure this stuff out for yourselves, because they want to tell you what to do. Anyways, now we're evolved, but thanks to Crowley and people that tapped into these secrets from the beginning of time and have used them for power and perversion, it's perpetuated things. Pretty much every bad thing about our society has been perpetuated by this. Because if you think about it, why do people build houses and have careers and all this stuff to make a sanctuary with a box, right? A comfortable box. So they can sit in the box or go back out and work again? No. That box is where they do these acts of love that create more stuff. But if you pervert it, then you need to build a bigger box, and it needs to look fancier, and you need to, you know, you do this Weinstein stuff and all this other stuff. And then you see what I'm saying? And it perpetuates. And then people are like, I don't know if I like guys or girls. I don't know if I like frogs. I don't know what's going on. You know? And nature just went to hell in a handbasket.
That's crazy. But nature, like animals, they have nothing to lose other than territory, right? But as humans, we just take everything, no matter what. And yeah, well, what are your thoughts on Crowley? Because I think he's a POS, man. I think he's a piece of shit.
His mind, his intellect was brilliant. But just like most dark forces, there's a lot of brilliance there. You can't throw the baby out of the bathwater. But as far as his acts, his way of life, what he took of this, it was some of the stuff that he did was, yeah, it was God. It was just demented, man. God awful perversions. Seriously. Yeah. And what am I saying here? Like if what I'm talking about is what creates reality and what destroys us at the same time, then what are we missing? All it's about is love and connection. That's all it's about, man. Like real love and connection and being, doing what you're here, what you're intended to do in the natural way, in a sacred way. I'm not talking about marriage, so to speak, like biblical marriage. I'm just saying, man, like there's a natural way to do these things. It doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter about that. It's just like all of the Hermetic laws. If we followed them in the way that we feel instead of doubting who we are, because they just want us to doubt ourselves all the time. Yeah. We would already be living in a damn utopia, not turning towards, you know, robots and having, I don't know, people marry their sex robots and other people like, and all these damn pedophilia. We wouldn't even allow it. It wouldn't happen. It just wouldn't happen.
Yeah, you have these shows like Black Mirror, right?
Yeah.
That just take everything. But again, that's where we're headed. This technocracy where just I mean, the singularity, I truly believe that's where we're headed. I think that's where we're going to end. And I again, there's movies about this. It doesn't ever end good. It doesn't ever end well. But some people just eat it up and they go head first. Like, oh, I'll be the first in line to get a vaccine. Oh, you go ahead and do that, man. I mean, that's natural selection at its finest.
Well, they don't challenge the status quo. And this is what, this is another thing too. And this is why so many people idolize guys like Crowley, is because Crowley challenged the status quo. And he did it in a way that, you know, aggrandized him and made him look like a guru and stuff, which, you know, all he was doing was tapping into his male energy, his initiating energy, and this also destructive energy, but he was attracting things towards him. He understood, once he started understanding magic, he knew how to mess with the public. He knew how to do everything, right? And all it was essentially, you know, so he could just go explore magic and consciousness and sleep with as many people as he could. And then he's going to bring down the new Aeon, right? And bring down this new world where this spirit tells him, like, oh, yeah, it's really all about love and will, but you're going to be more powerful than everybody else. And if you tap into this, then you're going to be more powerful. You don't have to worry about the people that are stupid. It's not for them. You'll rule them, right? And it's like, but this book is spiritual and lovely. Why the hell does it say burn it afterwards, you know? But it's a metaphor. A metaphor for what? Good and bad, right? Yeah, it's all a big excuse. And then you say, okay, well, I don't know. So you go, this is what I do. I go try to experience this stuff for myself. I go out to the fringes. But that might lead you out into the woods or a temple where there's nine people who are getting naked. And what the hell are they doing? I don't want to do that. You know, it doesn't feel right to me. But you're there already.
You're bending over naked in front of the sun. Like, well,
yeah, like, what the hell?
The sunlight.
So then you're like Gordon White told me, he said, you know, a lot of times these people, they get into this stuff. It's not for magic and spirituality. A lot of them get into it because they're trying to spiritually justify the reason why they want to be a swinger. You know?
Yeah. No, I get you. Do you believe in the whole Babylon holding ritual or Babylon working? Do you believe in that?
I believe it works. And when they aggrandize it and put energy and focus into it, absolutely.
Do you believe he did it?
I don't know. I don't think he accomplished anything that was big. Even the knowledge and conversation of Holy Guardian Angel, where he tried to do the Abramelin out there in Boliscan. He didn't 2 years. Finish it. Yeah.
But you buy a house. He bought a house on Loch Ness or something like that. It had to be facing a certain way. Had to have a certain amount of rooms. It just had to be, everything had to be perfect.
Yeah, and he didn't. He didn't finish it because he wasn't purified. He wasn't purifying himself. And when people's like, oh, you got to purify yourself. Well, what you're essentially trying to do is get to divine love. It's a lot easier to purify yourself if you love and learn how to love than it is if you have to be beat into actually caring or experiencing so much pain that you're forced to care about somebody. Like, there is an energy that does that there's people all over the planet going through that. But if you don't have to do that, you don't. All you got to do is just give a shit about the other person. Like, really put yourself in their shoes. Try to feel what they're feeling. Have some sympathy, you know? Make them feel better.
It's interesting how you're saying everything gets perverted and changed up. But when you put it how you're wording, it's like, oh, well, that's good. It's embrace it, right? You just love everybody and tell the truth. But then everything else gets right thrown out of the bus.
It's not embrace. Trust me. It's isolating to be that way. You wouldn't believe it, right? Just trying to love everybody and tell the truth and just stop beating around the bush and tell me what it is. I'm not trying to virtue signal here either. I've lied about all kinds of stuff in my life. Everybody does. But trying to be that way and trying to be better isolated me from society.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
I get what you're saying. That's very interesting. I just never, with the whole kid things, I have very strong feelings against pedophilia, being a father and all, and just how you're saying, trying to find that pure host, because you can just, if somebody's able to take the innocence from a child, I just, they deserve.
Yeah, they don't deserve to live to me. They don't deserve to be on this planet, period.
Yeah. Yeah.
Done. Like, I don't have any sympathy for you, man. Like, you're alien to me. You're a parasite.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. A slow, painful death is what they deserve. And that's why when it gets mixed up with all that, the occult and just knowing what I know about it, because again, I'm not, I tell people the only paranormal experience that I've ever had has been sleep paralysis. And it hasn't happened to me as of lately, but it happened to me frequently for, I don't know, like 3 years, 4 years, where I wouldn't encounter the entities, right? The darker entities, the shadow people. I would never see that. I would just have that feeling of dread whenever it would come upon me. And it would happen like once or twice a month. It was weird. But as of lately, I haven't had that happen to me.
That's crazy, man. Man,
yeah.
You know what? We got to get out of here too. We should do a part two at some point on this. You know?
Yeah. Whenever you want to have me on, man. I had lots of fun. This conversation went somewhere where I didn't even think it was going to go.
Yeah. Well, I always try to take this conversation back to alchemy, and essentially that's all it is, you know, male and female energy. It's not just about the act of it. Everything in life is doing that. Everything is doing that. Everything is made up of these two energies, and it's doing that. Like, if you start realizing that, the more you study it, and then like, oh, it's all about love, or it's all about selfishness in the material world, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a different take on life. And yeah, man, whenever you want to come on my show, dude, feel free, and we can, you know, come on whenever you want me to come back on and keep talking about this type of stuff. I love talking about having these sort of conversations, right? Where you see where you can take it and just really reflect. I never really thought about life in that sense.
Yeah, maybe I'll come on your show and we'll talk about how Crowley did enough acid and cocaine to kill four horses. And then, like, that'll turn into a good show.
Yeah, I believe that for sure.
Oh, hey, before I play the rollout music here, can you tell everybody how to follow you online since you spent so much time with us? Please plug away.
Yeah, I only have Instagram right now, at the Juan on Juan podcast. You can follow me on there, shoot me a message, whatever. And YouTube channel, the Juan on Juan podcast. I just started that recently. And my email is thejuanonjuanpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to send me an angry email or whatever, go ahead and feel free to do so.
All righty. All right. Well, that was cool. We'll definitely do this again. This is a good conversation for sure for me. You guys stay tuned for The Secret Teachings with Ryan Gable. We'll be back tomorrow night, same time, same channel, right here on The Fringe FM.